Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I'm happy to be here today. I know this is the first time I'm actually coming here, and I believe that the Lord is going to bless us. The Lord is going to bless us as we delve into His Word. He's a God who loves us and He cares about us. Wherever we go, we have to realize that He is there. But of late, I've been, looking at certain things that are happening all around us. And I've seen that a lot of people are either depressed or so stressed out that, some are even dying, which is a real shame. And they call themselves Christians. But I believe that as Christians, it is important for us to know who our God is. And when we know who our God is, we will not allow things that are around us to have such an impact on us that we become depressed, we become so, worked up that eventually, some of us have heart attacks and stuff like that. And so what the Lord revealed to me to share with you today is on being intentional. Be intentional. Be intentional. And I was reminded of Ezra. They had been in exile for some time and they were going in, back to Jerusalem. And before he left, he made a statement. And I'm going to read from the New American Standard Version. And it's from Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. And here's what it says. For Ezra has set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach God's statutes and ordinances in Israel. And so I'm going to look at three things. Seek and study the word of God. Secondly, obey, that is practice, do and follow the instructions of the word of God. And then thirdly, teach others, that is inform them, instruct them, exhort them, preach, impart, and all of that. There is a policy that I have held on to since I became a Christian some over 50 years ago. And the policy is this, two letters, N and B, N, B, N, B. No Bible, no breakfast. No Bible, no breakfast. And when you develop such a discipline, it really helps you. I know that a lot of us, before we leave home for work, we have to have breakfast. But to be able to discipline yourself to have some time with God before leaving home to do anything, it is important that we have that quiet time with Him. And that has stayed with me. And I passed this message on to a young man who recently sent a message to me that since I taught him that some 50 years back, he still held on to it and he's taught his children and they're doing the same. And because of that, his life, has been enhanced. Even though, he, had some challenges, health challenges, because he has come to know God, those challenges, he was able to overcome them. And they did not weigh him down because he trusted God to bring healing to him. And right now, he's in good health. Amen?
Amen.
And studying the Word of God has to be something that all of us have to do all the time. Not just once, not just twice. And sometimes there are some of us who wake up in the morning and the first thing we think about is, what we're going to go through the day. And recently also a lady told me that since I mentioned that to her, she's realized that the time that she spends with God and the verses that she reads carry her through the day. So that when challenges come, those words that she has read have an impact on how she responds to the challenges that she faces during the day. And I want to read from Psalm 19, verse 7 to verse 11. And it says this, the instructions of the Lord are perfect. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey him. In these verses, there are so many things that tell us about the importance of the Word of God. We're told that, you know, the Word of God, of the Lord is perfect. It revives the soul. You know, and I'm mindful of Psalm 1, which says what? Blessed is he who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law does he do what? Meditate day and night. He shall be what? Like a tree planted by the rivers of water, whose leaves do not wither, but brings forth fruit. The one who delights in the word of the Lord always flourishes, because the word of the Lord revives the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy. They make simple people wise. That is why Joshua, when the word came to Joshua, be courageous and all that. Verse 8 of Joshua 1 says this, this book of the law shall not what? Depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. For it will do what? Make your way prosperous, and you will have good success if you apply it to your lives. And meditating on the word of God is not just a matter of just sitting there and then going, that's not what meditation is. I've come to learn that meditation actually is just like, you know, when you see cows grazing. You know, they go around picking the grass. They'll pick the grass. And after some time, you see that the cows go and do what? Lie down under a tree. And what do you see happening? Their mouths are moving, you know. I'm sure you'll be wondering, what is going on here? But what they're doing is this. You know, scientists tell us that cows have got 4 stomachs. So when they graze, the grass goes into the first stomach. And then, afterwards, they bring the grass from the first stomach into their mouth, and they start chewing on that. And then it goes into the third stomach, they keep repeating that until they're able to get all the nutrients from the grass that they've, you know, chewed earlier on. And it's the same thing with meditation. Meditation is, you've read the word, and then later on you bring it into your mind, and then turn it over.
Okay, I found this on the web for you. Oh dear. Check it out.
Oh dear Lord. Oh, this Siri. My iPad, you know, got damaged. I sent it for repairs and it hasn't come back in, so I'm using it for anyway. So, in essence, you see, when you bring the word back into your mind, you ask yourself certain questions. Number one, what is this passage telling me about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Number two, is there a command for me to obey? Number three, is there a promise that I should claim? Number four, is there any sin that I have to shun? You see, so when you ask yourself these questions, you're able to get from the passage that you've read what the essence of the passage is. You know, sometimes we just, well, you know, the pastor has said we should read our Bibles and pray every day. So, oh, yes, I'll go through, you know, some of us, we use the U version, all kinds of versions, you know, to have our Bible studies or whatever. But then, what do we gain from it? Ezra said, I will study, I will seek the word of God, and I will study it. Why? Because I want to gain something from it. And when I meditate on the word, asking myself all these questions, I'm able to gain so much insight into who God is, what he has for my life, what he wants me to get rid of, and what he wants me to live in my life. And I'm also reminded from 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, the reasons why we study the word of God. 2 Chronicles 15, 1 and 2. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Now the Spirit of the Lord came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, that is the king, and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. It says, so if you seek the Lord, he will be found by you. And that is what the Lord wants us to do, to seek for him, and we will find him. But if we forsake him, he will also forsake us. You know, some of us only pray to God when we're in trouble. Hello? We only pray when we are confronted with something. We only call on God. But the Lord wants us to do this on a regular basis. And when we study his word, we are able to understand who he is and the relationships he had with various people. This morning at back in Elim, you know, Lloyd was talking about consecration. And he mentioned several people whose lives were consecrated to the Lord. You know, Daniel was so consecrated to the Lord that he decided that he was going to disobey the king and told, you know, the one who brought them food and, you know, drink that we are not going to touch this because he knew who God was. The same with Samuel. Samuel was even dedicated before he even, you know, was born. And when he was born, he dedicated to serve the Lord with everything that was within him. And we can go on and on and on and talk about people like that. Joshua, you know, who declared that, you know, consecrate yourselves because today God is going to do something. Are we expectant of God to do things in our lives? And, you know, Asa did not just hear the word. But we're told in 2 Chronicles 15, verse 12, that then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all of their hearts and with all of their souls. They did not just hear the word, but they applied it to their lives. They made it a point that they were going to be intentional about doing it, to seek the Lord with everything that was within them. And the question I want to put up to us today is, do we seek the Lord for who he is? Or do we seek him just because we know that he's going to supply our needs? And sometimes when I'm worshiping, I just want to shut my eyes and then listen to the words that I'm singing myself. Earlier on, we were singing what? I surrender all. Are we truly surrendered? That is a question we want to ask ourselves. Point number two, obey. That is practice. Do and follow the instructions of the Lord. James chapter 1, verse 22, a verse that we've heard over and over and over again, it says this, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You what? Doers of the word and not hearers only. Ezra said what? I'm going to seek and to study the word of the Lord. But also, I want to apply it to my life. And Romans 2:13 says this. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the Lord will be justified. We can only be justified when we do the will of the Lord, when we do the word that he has told us. I'm making references to a few, you know, verses here. And one of the verses also is 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this, you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. I mean, God was talking to Asa. Asa initially decided that he was going to serve the Lord. He got rid of all the, you know, idol worshippers and all of that. But then he left some things undone. He did not break down, you know, some of the altars that were on the hills and the mountains. He only did part and did not do the rest. And therefore, the word came from God to him that God is looking at everything that we do. There's a song that we used to sing when we were quite young, and it's this. You cannot hide from God. No mountains cover you. His eye behold your secret thoughts. He knows the ways that might have been burdened. He grieves when God's own hand is. The eyes of the Lord are going to and fro to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. He wants our total devotion. Not just part of it, but he wants us to be committed totally to him. And when we are committed totally to him, amazing things begin to happen. Daniel 11:32 says, those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt. Sorry, let me read again. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Hallelujah. Those who know their God shall be strong and they shall carry out great exploits. So it is a joy to pray and proceed in obedience. And one thing I've learned is this. People have to see what we are in God. And therefore, I've written here, you have to make God credible through your life. Amen. Amen? You have to make God credible through your life. You see, wherever we go, at work, at home, and all of that, people are watching. There's, you know, usually when I conduct a funeral, I ask people this question. In each of our lives, there are three people. Three different people in each of our lives. Number one, our family members. Number two, people we go to church with or our friends. Number three, people we work with. Yeah? Now, let's take it that, you know, today is the day that you have been laid in state. And pretty soon, you'll be into the soil. Now, if these three people in your life, your family members, people you go to church with or your friends, people you work with, if they are to come forward to give a testimony of your life, will they say the same thing? Will they say the same thing? Think about it. You know, some of us at home, we are tyrants. But when we come to church, oh, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. The way we will lift our hands and worship. And when we go to work, colleagues. And it could be the other way around. If these three people come to testify and they will not all say the same thing, then there's something wrong. Amen? Amen. As I said earlier, we have to make God credible through our lives. Amen? And it is not just seeking the Lord, seeking His word and studying it, but obeying it as a second thing. Thirdly, we have to teach others. We have to inform others. We have to instruct others and exhort them. Because we want to impart something to them. Because we have got something good. Earlier on, Alan was talking, was it Alan or Trev, was talking about witnessing. You know, telling people about who our God is. We want to spread the word and let the world know that Jesus loves them. Jesus cares about them. Jesus wants them to be with Him forever and ever. Jesus is ready to forgive them. Jesus is ready to, you know, and a lot of people, you know, say all kinds of things. And it is so sad that the church has been brought into disrepute these days. Because even those who you expect to maintain the biblical, you know, principles are turning against the Bible because they want to align themselves with the world. But we will not do that in the name of Jesus. Amen. We want to tell people that the word of God is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is good. The word of God is like honey to the bones. Oh, hallelujah. The word of God gives us something to guide us. And the word of God is true. You see, I've been a Christian for so many years. I don't see why I should go against the things that the word of God says. So I want to teach people that God is real. You know, sometimes they will tell you, you know, all sorts of things about trees and human beings and all that. They'll tell you, you know, we came from apes and monkeys. I didn't come from a monkey. God created me this way. Amen?
Yeah.
And the question I ask them is, if we have evolved from apes or whatever and we become human, what is the next stage? Why has it stopped with us? Because we have to keep evolving. Hallelujah. And so, you know, it tells you how warped people's minds are. You know, when they talk about Darwin, you know, Darwin, before he died, declared Jesus as his Lord. Amen? Amen?
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, these scientists just stop short of that. They do not know this. Or they know, but they're intentionally trying to, you know, put it to the side. We have to teach others. Now, 2 Chronicles 17, verse 7 to 9 says this. Also, in the third year of his reign, he sent his leaders, Ben-Hal, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nathaniel, and so on, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites, Shemaiah, you know, all those people that are named there, and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went throughout all the cities of Judah, and taught the people. You know, the thing is, we can't all be pastors or preachers. But then, in our own small way, what we know about our God. We can teach our children. We can teach our friends. Whoever is in our sphere of influence. You know, what I always tell my children is this. People should be the better for knowing you. Amen? People should be the better for knowing you because you want to influence anyone for good because of who you are and whose you are. And we are children of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we are told that, you know, this king, Jehoshaphat, went round and made sure that people were taught the law of the Lord. Because the law of the Lord is perfect, making wise the simple. And when we teach the law of the Lord, 2 Chronicles 17:10 says, and the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the lands that were around them, so that they did not make war against Jehoshaphat. I mean, this is what I take from this particular verse, that when we apply the word of God to our lives, and we teach others the same, troubles will not come our way. Even when the troubles come, hallelujah, God will protect us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this verse is saying that fear came on all the people around. You see, when you stand for God, people fear you. I remember, you know, back, you know, when I was studying, I was working part-time and all that. And there was this place that I was working at. And some of the language there, oh my goodness. All the various F's you can imagine. I did not say anything, but I just prayed. Interacted with the people there. To the extent that as soon as anyone is going to open their mouth and, you know, to say the foul thing, and they see me, oh, sorry. That is the impact we have. We teach people by our lives as well, not just by our mouths. And I believe that the Lord will bless us when we seek His word, study His word, get to know who He is. You see, another thing too that, you know, happens is this. God, when we seek Him constantly and want to live for Him, He speaks to us. All the time. He's always speaking. Even as you're sitting there right now hearing my voice, God is saying something special to you. But then, are you hearing Him? You know, in my ministry here in the UK, I pastored Chinese people. I don't even speak the language. I only know, how are you? What is your name? That's it. And, you know, the church that we started, right now, it's one of the biggest Chinese churches in London. And not only that, at some point also, I was, you know, we started this church, you know, which was, we dealt with the Chinese people, and then they moved on. You know, and a friend of mine who I started the church with, he had been trying very hard because he comes from Hong Kong and they speak Cantonese, and he's been trying everything to, you know, get into the mainland China, you know, Mandarin speaking people. It's proven very, very difficult. But then when he teamed up with me to start the church, after about a couple of years, some students started coming from mainland China. One or two became saved. And then anytime, you know, any of their friends are coming over to study here, say, come to the house. And some of them literally come straight from the airport to the church. They become saved, healed, delivered, and, you know, right now, a whole lot of them are serving the Lord.
Amen.
With all of their hearts.
Amen.
And then, you know, we started having two services, the international service in the morning, and then in the afternoon we'll have the Mandarin service. I'll preach. My wife and, sorry, I didn't introduce my wife to you, Veronica. Yeah. My wife and the children will go home, and I'll stay with these young students doing just basic stuff with them. The church grew. And then my friend came up to me and said, oh, you know what? You've done enough. Let me take over. I just concentrate on the morning. And then that was when he told me about the fact that he's tried by Kudu. But here was a black man from West Africa, Ghana, living in London. But you know what? It's because of... You remember Young Icho? Anyone remember Young Icho? You know, the largest church in Korea, maybe the world. He was interviewed once. And the question that the person put to him was this. I hear and I obey. Simple. I hear and I obey. Do we hear and we obey? The same with the Polish church. I remember, you know, a lady came to the church, it's a Polish lady, and she said the church she goes to, women are not allowed to. I said, is that so? Just come. The following week when she came with five Polish people, and she was sitting at the back translating for them. And then a few weeks later, about a month or so, there were about 10 of them. And when she's translating, people will be turning around to see what is going on there. So we bought headsets so that she would just speak into the mic. After some time, 25 of them. And all the headsets that we had just broke down. So I was just standing at the pulpit. And I could clearly hear the Lord saying, let her come to the front. So there was direct translation from the front. And you know what? Within a very short time, over 100 of them. And every quarter, we baptize about 10 of them. And it's all because of them. And their testimonies are just amazing. You know, most of them came from a Catholic background. And all of them were saying that. You know, almost all of them. Same, similar testimonies. You know, in the Catholic Church, we go through, you know, certain rituals, certain passages or whatever, we repeat, but it didn't have any meaning for us. But when we came in here, we realized that one who we can depend on, one who we can go to, one who we can worship with everything that is within us, all because one man was prepared to hear and obey. You know, just last week I was listening to Premier Praise. And they have certain, you know, and this lady was saying that sometimes we pray to God and we think God is not answering us. We are not hearing anything. Do you know why? God must have said something to you to do, which you have not done. And because of that, when you ask him again, he will not answer because you have not dealt with the first thing in 11:32. Those who know their God shall be strong and they shall do great exploits. I want to end with this. We all know how Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt. When they came to the Red Sea, it was dark. They looked back and Pharaoh and his people were following. And the people started murmuring, why are you doing this to us? You brought us here to die and all that. But Moses says something. When we read Exodus 14, I think from verse 11. Moses told the people that these Egyptians you see today, you will not see again forever. And at that time, he had not prayed. He had not spoken to God. But he knew that God was going to do something because he knew who God is. He had a relationship with him. That was when he went to God and said, hey, I've promised these people something. Now, Lord, do something. And God asked him, What is in your hand? What he had in his hand was something that God has, you know, given to him that he used throughout, you know, all the, the plagues. He used that. He said, point it out. The final question I want to ask, what has God put in your hand? What you have in your hand is not the same as what I have in my hand. what has God for Alan, to Estonia, and maybe some other parts. For myself, I know what God has put in my hand. And the Bible tells us that those who put their trust in the Lord, they will not be put to shame. Those who know their God shall be strong. Lord, we want to thank you so much for another opportunity you've given to us, Lord God, to hear your word. We want to thank you that you care so much about us, but at the same time also, you want us to have an impact on our world. Lord, thank you that with you, all things are possible. And Lord, we want to rely on you and trust in you. Because this world is heading in a direction that, Lord, has already been spoken about. And that is the more reason why we ought to stand up for the truth. We ought to stand up and let the world know that Jesus is Lord. And let the world know that Jesus saves. And let the world know that Jesus heals. And let the world know that Jesus cares about them. And Father, we pray that whatever you put in our hands, we will utilize to bring praise and glory to your name. And that the world may know that Jesus, and he lives in us. And he works wonders. Though we might not see wonders every day, we know that, Lord, because we trust in you, we can see snippets of it. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name.